watch the struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:32 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by collegeofmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It is I, Drew Croson, at SonofCrow2 on Twitter. But you can find me at SonofCrow on Venmo. To one side of me is the rumor monger Ryan Starrett. Ryan S. Starrett coming through me, through you, coming to you through Skype. The S is for Skype. Gosh, we should just start over. I'm terrible today. Ryan, hello.
How's it going?
Yeah, not great. The other side of me.
I think the S is for Skype. It keeps crashing.
The other side of me giving you that full Fort Payne ASMR that you pay so much extra for. A man who is a fan in the seats and a racist nowhere else. The AU chief.
Hello.
On today's show, we are not going to talk about alt-right conspiracy theories. We are not going to talk about random tweets that might anger the entire Auburn linebacker corps. Except to say we are pro-Auburn linebacker corps and anti all of those tweets.
Yes.
Instead, we're going to do some talking. We might actually interview a former Auburn basketball player. This is now 2 weeks in a row we've promised that. But this week, we might actually deliver. Ryan's frozen. That's nothing new about that.
Oh, he's here. He's just, Yeah, my camera craps out every time. Don't worry.
So,
what kind of computer are you working with there, Ryan?
It's something from work.
It's an Apple II.
It's a ThinkPad.
ThinkPad. Chinese. Okay.
Isn't everything?
Well. Great. Great. Now Ryan's computer's giving us all the coronavirus. That's what I read on the news. Yeah. So how is that? How is Auburn, Alabama?
A little wet today.
Yeah. It was very tropical stormy today.
Man, let me tell you what we don't have over here. Rain.
Oh, a little dry out there in the...
Oh, boy. It is. Today it was 96 degrees on my bike ride this afternoon. And not a drop of moisture in sight.
How does it manage to be so dry yet so humid in Texas?
Well, it depends on where you are. Because yesterday it was pretty humid here, but today it was not at all.
Well, that's nice, at least.
Yeah, today it was like Phoenix.
I guess West Texas is definitely not very humid.
Right.
San Antonio was maybe the most oppressive heat I've ever experienced in my whole life.
It's pretty humid some days in San Antonio, but nothing compares to a late summer, early September day in Houston. The average temperature in Houston, year-round average temperature is 89 degrees.
It's rough. It's not close enough to the ocean to get the breeze from the ocean either. So
I mean, it's kind of on the ocean, but you're right. It's far enough away that you don't get any breeze.
Yeah. It's weird. Very weird.
Yeah, Houston is an amazing city in terms of food, culture, art, and music, and it is a terrible city for everything else.
I had a nice time in Houston when I was there.
It's a great city. A&M game. I would go again from January to March, for sure.
My buddy Ronaldo lives there out in, I think he's in Sugar Land
Your
now.
Your buddy's with Ronaldo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mate, that's big, hot, Hold number down. One. Ronaldo and Chief are buddies. Number two, apparently Ronaldo's playing for the Dynamo.
Yeah, we had fun. I couldn't even tell you where we went because I just rode with him. He followed him. We went to like a dive bar, had pretty good beers there, and it's nice.
Is this more Cristiano Ronaldo or more like Il Fenomeno Brazilian Ronaldo?
Oh, more like Brazilian Ronaldo.
Oh man, I don't even know if Ryan knows who that is.
The real Ronaldo, if you will. No. This is Ronaldo Reed, Reezy. And I always say he spells it the correct way, not like Ronaldo. He's Ronaldo.
I don't know what that is. R-E? R-E, okay. Guys, I'm recording from outside again. So if you hear ambient noise, it's part of the charm of recording outside.
It's the experience.
Yeah. It's like you're here poolside with me in Plano, Texas.
Ryan, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good.
Just checking on a couple things.
Oh, I tell you, if Ryan drops out, this show is going to go off the rails.
Yeah. Yeah, I still haven't looked at these show notes.
Hey, Crow, you just moved out of Auburn, and I think you're missing a nice new food spot. Downtown Irritable Bowel just opened up.
You know, that's a great spot. I went to the one when it was a truck. Okay. I could not recommend it highly enough.
Yeah. So we went opening day, and we waited in the line. It was a hefty 40-minute wait, probably. But yeah, they had a buffalo chicken bao and a sweet and spicy chicken box. Fantastic.
That sounds pretty good.
It was definitely worth the wait. Already planning my next visit, although I'm hoping the line won't be as bad next time.
Yeah. Let me tell you what I ate last week, Ryan. I ate a Whataburger twice. And I also went to a place called
Dr. Pepper with it, right?
Yeah, of course. And I also went to a place called the Halal Guys. And Halal Guys is incredible.
Sounds good. What's your burger of choice at Whataburger?
Well, I'm not as young as I used to be, Chief. When I was in high school, I could eat anything. Sure. But now I'm Now I'm a Whataburger junior guy.
The high school aged male is just a dumpster.
Dude, I have to atone for those sins still. I eat Whataburger Juniors. A lot of times I go double meat, double cheese on my Whataburger Junior. I get grilled jalapenos and grilled onions and peppers on there as well. Mustard, no mayo. That's my Whataburger.
You know, I think I might have to start just building one of the specialty burgers on a Whataburger Junior. That's a good idea.
Because it's cheaper and you end up with a ton of good food. When I was in high school, Chief, my normal order was a triple meat Whataburger with jalapenos and extra pickles, and I would get grilled onions. That was my go-to.
How close are you to Whataburger?
From my house? From my brother's house?
Can you walk there?
We can't walk there, but it's pretty close. I bet it's... I could walk there. It's like 2.5 miles.
I would have to resist getting breakfast there every morning. if it was like a 5-minute drive.
The problem is I got to pass like 3 places that make breakfast tacos to get to a Whataburger here.
Okay. All right.
And a Shipley's Donuts, which that's tough to beat.
Shipley's Donuts, eh?
Yeah.
What's that about?
It's a Texas donut chain.
Cool.
It is incredible. They also have kolaches, which are like God's gift.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Those are good.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually not what they're called in Czech. They're called Koblensk. But only people who have been through West Texas, not the area, but the city named West Texas, which is a little Czech Texas city in like central Texas, north of Waco, south of Dallas. They have a gas station there called the Czech Stop, spelled C-Z-E-C-H. And it's the best Czech bakery outside of Czechoslovakia. And they do legit kolaches, which are more like Danishes. And then they do the Koblensk, which is what most people call kolaches.
Ryan, Czechoslovakia is a country that no longer exists.
Did you know?
Part of the old Soviet Union.
Did you know that the Czech Republic has changed its name officially?
Really?
To Czechia?
Czechia?
Czechia.
Czechia.
To be more like Slovenia, Slovakia.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Serbia.
Interesting.
Well, they're no longer a republic.
I don't know if they didn't tell anybody that, but like most people don't know that this country is a new name.
My uncle's a big fan of the Czech Republic. He's been over there a few times, and he says they got great beer there in the Czech Republic.
They invented the Budweiser-style Pilsner.
Huh.
So the Budweiser we have in the United States is a ripoff of a Budweiser that existed from the ages on there in Czechia.
Interesting.
And the German version of the Pilsner comes from Czech.
I'll be.
Yeah. Interesting. That's Facts Beer of Crow. Chip. Guys, we have a guest coming on maybe in a little bit. Are we going to ask him about what defunding the police might mean for major cities across the United States?
It's a pretty heavy topic.
I'm just kidding. But I will say that it was interesting the week that we had on Auburn Twitter.
Because interesting's a word for it.
Well, because it ranged from it ranged from everything from this incredible like unity that I didn't think I'd ever see before, of people kind of all joining together to support African American people, African American players, whatever. And then all of the sudden, the dumbest things you've ever heard.
Do we want to name a?
No, I'm not gonna name names. Not naming names. Name names. But all of a sudden, like literally from the top rope, something that you didn't think was still even a take.
Yeah.
Some great ASMR there, Chief.
Yeah, just chew that ice right in that microphone. Yeah, like I've never seen somebody drag. I've never seen a dragging that publicly.
By a player too.
Bro, it's a banner week. And this is on top of the fact that Auburn is maybe going to get hit with an LOI in basketball.
Well, according to Pat Forday, we already have.
Right.
Remember?
Right. Maybe we have. Maybe we haven't.
Maybe we have. Maybe we haven't.
So if Auburn is ineligible for the postseason, Oklahoma State, does that mean we're going undefeated like the 93 football team?
Yeah, maybe. Although I'll say this, the last time the basketball team was put on probation, things did not go well.
No, it did not go well. Year.
So I'm still hopeful for that in that situation, by the way. I know the NCAAs, they just do whatever. There's no rhyme or reason, but we went above and beyond in what we did. They've already handed out, punishment to the players involved, and we self-imposed a recruiting ban for a year.
Yeah.
So we already did stuff ourselves. You never know. I'm hopeful still. I'm not complete doom and gloom, as I know that some people are at this point. But the bottom line is, what happened to Oklahoma State didn't deserve to happen to them either. So it's just the NCAA is it a rogue organization? Like, they have nobody tells them what to do. So
it's a kangaroo court.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just silly and shouldn't be a thing anymore.
Yeah, it's anachronistic at this point. The cicadas are out.
Oh, nice. The conferences have more real power anyway.
Right.
Than the NCAA. So
they negotiate their own TV rights. So
yeah, like
and
I was thinking,
that's what the power is, right? That's
I was thinking the other day. I was like, what's even the point of the NCAA? what purpose do they serve? I guess the other sports, they organize their post-seasons.
Tournaments, right? And they have a unified list of rules.
Sure,
that's a main. That's like the main thing they do at this point. Like, it's hey, we all play by the same rules.
Hmm. Yeah. Like
even in boxing, you have to have some organization.
Right.
You
would have to have some organization replace them, but maybe not have, this huge bureaucratic organization to do so. I guess in a way you still have to have, unless you just break up all the other sports into their own things and not have it all under one banner, but I don't know.
I say you just let conferences or schools or however you want to do it have their own home court rules, home field rules.
Mm-hmm. So like the
three-point line can be a different distance depending on where you're playing at.
Yeah, in the SEC,
I mean, baseball
you get
does it with the outfield fence.
In the SEC, they play like you get 12 defensive linemen or defensive players.
There's no targeting, only in the Big 12.
Right.
That's one of the wildest things about baseball is every field is completely different,
and the rules change.
Crazy. Yeah. It's just from league. Yeah. Even within a professional league, the rules change. Right.
It's just haphazard. All right, let's talk a little bit about something that we haven't talked about in a while, which is American football.
Okay.
Okay. So on our website, which you can go to at collegeofmagnolia.com, part of the SB Nation Galaxy of Stars, There is a thing going on that Nerd is doing. Nerd being the best writer for the website by, I don't know, considerable distance. The thing keeping the website afloat, the backbone, but not really a backbone. Backbone is for a snake because we don't have any arms and legs.
Backbone blogs.
The AU Nerd has a series going on about where he's just asking questions, like a roundtable type format. Like, who will lead Auburn in rushing? Who is going to be, will Bo Nix throw for 3,000 yards? Whatever. These are really good, and you should go read them. I would say it might be one of the better things we've done in an off season in a while. And I know I haven't written anything. I wrote my first piece within that in forever. So I'm committing. You hear it now, dear listener. I'm writing something on the daggum website this week. I don't know what it's going to be, but I got to figure something out because I'm tired of not. I didn't even have a login there for a while. It had been so long. I think Jack fired me.
Jack fired you, yeah.
Jack low-key fired me somehow.
So do we want to talk about what some of those questions were?
Yes, that's why I brought that up, Ryan. I'm a professional podcaster. Let's talk about those questions.
You seem to be trailing away there.
Well, it's late.
Oh, happy June 9th, guys.
Yeah. Happy nice day.
Nice. So let's talk about the Bo Nix one first. Was that our first one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who will he beat out Kalen Newton for the starting job?
Man. Yes. However, would it be the most incredible Auburn story, that the Auburn story that would get people hating us the most, if Bo Nix gets injured week 3 and Kalen Newton comes in and just lights the league on fire and we win the conference? People be so mad at us.
They'd hate us so bad.
They would be even more mad if Kalen had to play for a significant chunk. Seasons, I think, you know, we're looking at 4 or 5 wins and then we beat Alabama.
Or just that'd be nice. Bo goes down at halftime against Alabama with like cramps, and Kalen Newton comes in
cramps
and throws like 3 touchdown passes in the second half. We beat Alabama.
Yeah, those, that November heat, it'll get to you.
Man, I don't know what he does the night before the game. Might be dehydrated.
So the real question, I think, was, is Bo Nix going to get to 3,000 yards this year?
Yeah, and give some background to that, Ryan. How many Auburn quarterbacks have ever thrown for 3,000 yards?
It's not many. Not many, Crow.
The Auburn passing and receiving numbers are atrocious from a historical perspective.
Yeah, I don't know if you were aware, but we're really known for our running and not really any our passing. Even though we have a Heisman winning, 2 Heisman winning quarterbacks.
We have more Heisman quarterbacks than we do running backs.
Okay, so you know, it's been done fairly recently, getting to 3,000 yards. Jarrett Stidham did it in 2017. It was only the second quarterback to ever do it for Auburn. But
who was the first?
Damian Craig. Yeah. Cam actually didn't get to 3,000.
Well, that's because
he's just running people over.
Yeah, he had, 3,500 all-purpose?
Oh, no, because he had 2,850 through the air.
Oh, 1,500 on the ground, right? Yeah. He had over 1,000 on the ground, right?
4,300 total offense.
Yeah. That is wild.
In that 1 year, he is 10th all-time in total offensive yards for Auburn.
That is why he won the Heisman.
Yes. Yeah, he didn't have like 50 touchdowns. The only thing wilder than that is that, what was that dude name who won the Heisman for OU? Chief? Not Baker
Josh
Mayfield.
Heupel?
No, not Heupel. Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford threw for 50 touchdowns.
Well, he definitely didn't run for him.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So that's why he won the Heisman.
Can't imagine.
Did you know that Jalen Hurts threw for 3,850 yards for OU last year?
Did you see his receivers?
Could you imagine?
Telling you, like, what are we doing at our school? OU could take Chief and get a 3,000-yard passer.
Sorry about my dog. I don't know what he's barking at.
He's probably barking at my takes. Because they're meaty. Like, why is it that OU and Alabama, is it just the receivers, or is it the offense, or is it the coordinator, where it seems like every single year now they have a 3,000-yard passer and a 1,000-yard receiver?
I think it's just the offense. I think it's the way that every Big 12 team, every wide receiver seems to have 3,000 miles of space between them and the defender at all times.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but that's just the way it seems. People aren't regularly throwing for 50 touchdowns in the SEC, are they? I can't think of anybody that has. Cam, but he didn't throw for 50. He ran for, we talked about it already. Anyway.
The Cam Newton season really is a weird thing to think about. How much it came out of nowhere, how bonkers good it was, and then it was gone.
Yeah.
All right, and the next question. So wait.
We got to answer the question, don't we?
Yeah, Chiefs. Chiefs, is Bo Nix going to become the third Auburn quarterback ever to have 3,000 yards passing?
No.
Yeah. I think that's right. I'm going to say no, too, only because, past performance might indicate future performance. I don't know.
To give you some context, he threw for 2,550 last year. So he was two games short.
Okay.
500 yards.
And we may be throwing.
And he does have.
And we're playing two more games this year.
Maybe the second best receiver in Auburn history to throw to.
And we're playing two more games this year, Ryan.
Sure.
Minimum.
We might throw the ball a little bit more and do a little more in the air this year.
That's the other part of it with Chad Morris.
So maybe.
If Anthony Schwartz didn't have a club on his hand, he'd have at least 50 more yards.
Well, if we just throw to the man more than,
But we threw to him that one time we had a club on his hand, and he would have caught it.
I know.
He was wide open.
I know. But then we, for some reason, just did not throw it to him at times when it seemed like maybe we should have.
Well, I mean, how hard is it to get the fastest person in the entire country behind the defense?
I don't know.
Yeah, but then you got to hit him.
Well, then to hit him and to have time to hit him.
What are you trying to say, Ryan?
He's fast.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He can get really far downfield before you can throw it to him.
Okay.
And what if your arm isn't?
I don't know if you were making any comments about accuracy there.
No.
Guys, football is hard. Okay. All right.
Both threw for a. 6.7 yards per attempt.
Sure. And, that's pretty meh.
I think we talked about how that was the same as Jeremy Johnson in 2015.
Dios mio.
It's only going to get better. You can assume that, right?
It can't get worse. Freshman,
no rushing attack really to work with.
No offensive line to speak of.
An offensive coordinator who's could be his big brother.
You say that, Chief, but then didn't we have two offensive linemen go in the NFL draft?
Yeah.
I
think it was more a confluence of Bo didn't really trust them, maybe because they weren't great in the early season, and that got him out of the pocket, and that hurt his accuracy, and some of that's on Bo. Hopefully that comes with just being a freshman and can improve from there.
All right, let's move on from Bo Nix. The College of Magnolia Roundtable question 2, I'm going to ask it in two parts. The question is, who will lead Auburn in rushing? My question to you is, who do you want to lead Auburn in rushing, and who do you actually think will lead Auburn in rushing?
Tank Bigsby. No, I bet Tank leads us. DJ is the guy I would like to see us lead us. I'm still not done with DJ Williams.
So are you not all about Bo Nix running for 1,000 yards this year?
No, not at all.
You will be able to give your tickets away if Bo Nix leads this team in rushing.
So, just to go through the options, because Auburn's got a pretty big running back room right now. We've got the only senior, Malik Miller, a couple upperclassmen in Sean Shivers, and I guess Harold Joyner. Isn't he a redshirt sophomore at this point? Or is he just a true sophomore? Him and DJ Williams, who's DJ is the returning rusher from last year, leading returning rusher from last year, and then Mark Anthony Richards and Tank Bigsby. So, I mean, it really could be outside of Malik Miller, it could be any of those five guys, I think.
No, wait a minute. This reminds me of a joke, Ryan. Outside of a dog, a book is a man's best friend. Inside of a dog is too dark to read.
I'm not sure I follow there, Crow.
Outside of Malik Miller, it's those guys. But inside Malik Miller, it's too dark to tell who is going to be the lead rusher.
So the season is just, you don't want to even look at it if Malik Miller is the leading rusher. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is don't leave Malik Miller out of this. Here's a guy that for whatever reason is always wide open on wheel routes and other.
Well, maybe he can be the leading receiver.
Like, and even when he gets the ball on draws and other plays, he seems to gain 9-10 yards every single time. I've never understood it. He also runs the field is shifting uphill.
This is his eighth season of eligibility, so.
Yeah, I think he might be 40 years old. He might be part of the Cord Sandberg Memorial, like, oldest player on the team award.
I hate to break it to you, Crow, but he is at 3.9 yards per rush.
It feels like it's 9.3 is what it feels like.
He's averaging 11 yards a catch.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It feels like he is always wide open, and somehow, though he is not the fleetest of foot, is able to gain just tremendous chunks of yards whenever he gets the rock. Ryan, who do you want to lead the team in rushing? Who do you think actually will do it?
I think I'm kind of the opposite of Chief. I would love to see Tank Bigsby come in and just tear the league up. I think that would be a great story. Auburn hasn't really had a freshman running back do those kinds of things in a long time.
Since Mike Dyer.
But I think the safe thing is DJ Williams. He had 400 yards last year. He played well when Booby was out with the injury, but true freshmen don't normally leave that mark, which is why I'm kind of hesitant on Tank.
Yeah, and I think DJ did a really nice job in the LSU game, which made a lot of Auburn fans kind of go overboard with DJ. For me, DJ Williams is probably the safest bet, and mainly it's because of coronavirus. Like, with the shortened off season, no spring practice and all that stuff, like, Gus is going to go with the guy that he knows.
Yeah.
And DJ is the only guy that he knows.
Take it back. I want Sean Shivers to be the leading rusher.
Sean Shivers.
That would be so much fun.
Yeah. The type of offense that exists in which Sean Shivers is the leading rusher is the type of offense that will make me look forward to Auburn games every Saturday.
Now, hold on. There's a difference between being the leading rusher and having 550 yards.
Well, that's true.
And being the leading rusher and having 1,000 yards.
Do we
think any of these guys are going to have 1,000 yards rushing?
If the season in which Sean Shivers leads the team in rushing and has over 1,000 yards rushing is the type of season that is exciting to me, because that is a fun player to give the ball to 20 times a game. But also the very specific type of offense that he is most suited in. And Auburn really hasn't run it the last couple of years.
Yeah. Well, Auburn's got really good speed options from other guys, and I think that's part of it. I mean, you've got Anthony Schwartz. Before that, it was Eli Stowe for his knee injuries. So it hasn't really been a running back, it seems like, to get those end-around carries.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that's popping helmets off in the Iron Bowl, he's going to get a look.
That's why I want him to. Well, actually, my first choice was Harold Joyner, only because it's so out of nowhere. And he's gigantic.
He's a wild card. He's a big guy. He might end up being a Wildcat quarterback this year. Which, hey, that'd be something if he was a leading running back or leading rusher out of the Wildcat.
Man, Auburn Twitter would melt down. If we just ran Wildcat every play, just let Harold Joyner take us. Yeah. Take us there, Harold.
Auburn Twitter and Alabama Twitter. I can't imagine.
What did they call us? Gotcha and grab ass?
Yeah. That's why we're the purveyors of gotcha and grab ass right now.
It's unbelievable, man. They're just such sore winners. Like, just be okay. Be okay with the fact that you win almost always.
It can't be okay.
No, that's why they're so much fun to beat. It's not... Alabama is so much fun to beat, not because they win all the time. It's because they're not okay with winning all the time. They're such babies about winning all the time.
Yeah, it's just the, I don't know, it's such a weird situation. So, I don't know. I don't get it. I'm glad that we're not in a situation where we're not happy with winning all the time.
We might but be I in wish... basketball.
Well, it's possible.
So let's go a little bit into basketball after we take this break. At 31 minutes and 19 seconds. And we're back. It's now 31 minutes and 30 seconds. I don't know if our guest is going to show up. This might be 2 weeks in a row that we've been stood up by Auburn basketball players. I'm starting to feel like an Alabama co-ed.
Man.
Yeah.
Crow, I've got a question for you.
Go for it, Ryan.
And you and Chief.
No, this is just for me.
Who's going to have a better NBA career, Chuma or Isaac Okoro?
Define better.
You define better. I mean,
okay.
Who's going to be in the league longest, more all-star games? I don't know. Okay, however you want to look at it.
My question is, who's the better player to you, Robert Horry or Leandro Barbosa?
See, that's a problem because I've never seen either one of them play.
Because like Robert Horry has like 7 titles, but he never made an all-star team. And Leandro Barbosa.
Did he really never make an all-star team?
I don't think
team?
So. And that's Barbosa, crazy. I believe, made an all-star team. So I would say, based on that, like I think Isaac Okoro is going to have a better career in that I think he'll be in the league longer. I think he will make more of an impact on lousy teams quicker. I think Chuma might be the piece that a really good team might want in a couple of years and go poach. So you might see Chuma on, like, I don't know, like a really good Warriors team or Mavericks team or Spurs team or Lakers team that needs, like, one more shooter. And they grab Chuma Okeke, and now they've got a nice backup three or starting three. Whereas Okoro, because he's going to be a top 15 pick, maybe top 10 pick, is going to be kind of expected to be the man on whatever team he gets taken by, unless the Warriors get him, which... The best case scenario for Isaac is the Warriors take him.
Yeah. I think that's to his detriment, though. We saw the flaws in his game. And
yeah.
He's not a 3-point shooter.
No. And he's not the man. Like
he's not going to be the biggest, strongest guy to be able to take it to the basket anymore.
The good news is he's 19 years old and he can still become a good 3-point shooter.
Like he's incredible, but I don't know if he has the, okay, I'm going to be the guy that with 3 seconds left. The ball's coming to me. Nobody else take the ball from me. I'm shooting this shot. Or we need a bucket right now. I'm going to get it. He really isn't that much of that type of player. However, he is the guy that's like, all right,
I'm
need to stop.
The guy that's going to take that bucket.
Yeah, we need to stop. Okay, Isaac, you guard Damian Lillard. Go. So I could see, I mean, well, the rumors he's going to the Hawks. That's, to me, the Hawks are such trash as an organization. that I don't really want him to do that, only because like what are they doing? What are they trying to build in Atlanta? Like
nothing.
They're really having
around Trae Young.
No, I know. I understand. No. They got Trae Young. No. And so the idea is we're building Warriors East. They had the lowest 3-point percentage in the league last year. So they're not building Warriors East. They're just shooting a lot of threes. And so, like, they're just – and Trae Young's a great player. But everybody else was in the wrong position, misaligned. It's a disaster in Atlanta. I really – like, as much as there are people who want to stand for the Hawks, like, there's no advanced stat by which Atlanta is anything but a dumpster fire at this point. And I don't want him in that because of that. Like, unless – they decide to shift identities, and he's now, you know.
Well, the Hawks have been the mediocre city for 30 years, so I know it's not going to change.
And maybe they are.
They made it to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals one time.
Yeah,
Kyle Korver in the house. One time. Maybe they are going to be Golden State East, and maybe he's the Andre Iguodala of that. But like
maybe.
Or maybe he's even Draymond Green. Like, he's the defensive Swiss Army knife that can do everything. But like, they're missing so many pieces in Atlanta that him going there is okay. Great, that's where he's going to be for his rookie deal. And then when his rookie deal is up, hope to God that he gets to sign somewhere else as a free agent. Like, that's just the way that's going to be. And to be honest, Atlanta fans, that's probably Trae Young's situation too right now. Like, that's a ticking clock. He's going to re-sign somewhere else if Atlanta can't figure it out.
Yeah.
That's the way the league works.
The guys aren't sticking around.
Even the Mavericks. I'm a huge Mavericks fan. Even the Mavs understand that Luka is not going to be there if they can't figure something out to get past the 7 seed in the West.
Is Atlanta the biggest small market team? Like, they're not a small market. But
no,
they're
right.
Operate like they're one.
That they operate their one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're right. Like, Atlanta acts like they're Milwaukee.
Or even worse, Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's a terrible franchise.
If you look at, like, actual number of people in the city, San Antonio is way bigger than people give it credit for.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, I always think it's weird that that's considered a small market.
Yeah, it's
a big
huge.
City, but it's... I guess out of the way. I don't really know.
Yeah, because it doesn't have a big airport, but it's a gigantic city. It's smaller than Houston, but I think it might be bigger than Dallas now, which is wild.
Yeah, I know it felt really big when I was a kid.
It's sprawling.
Yeah, it is.
But it's not really a basketball market, except that that's the only game in town now.
Yeah, they don't have anything else, right?
So they're all Spurs fans.
They don't have.
They've wanted the NFL since before I was born. Like, they built the Alamo Dome to hope to get an NFL team, and they didn't get it. So like they've done everything they can to get an NFL team, but can't get one given to them.
It's weird that city's like. Is it just because of where it is? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know either. I think it's racism because people don't want to give a bunch of Mexicans a sports team.
Yeah. Guess.
Like, there's no reason they don't have a Major League Baseball team either. They the city was going to build the Marlins a brand new stadium.
It was a cool city too. I don't understand.
They didn't get the Marlins.
They had the Final Four there recently, didn't they?
They wanted Major League Soccer, and Major League Soccer like, oh yeah, San Antonio, we'll think about it. And then, like, all of a sudden, Austin just gets a team. Like, it doesn't make any sense that Austin got a team.
It's not like it's El Paso or something. Like
San Antonio is way bigger than Austin, and Austin got a team before San Antonio did. It makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
And then Major Soccer had the audacity to be like, well, what if we put the team in South Austin? It's almost kind of like your team too, San Antonio. Like, no, man, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I've got a Hard Rock San Antonio shirt, Hard Rock Cafe.
Ryan, the Hard Rock Cafe was...
Yeah. They sponsored the Orange Bowl for a little while, didn't they?
Sure.
The stadium, not the game.
Yeah, sure. Landshark sponsor the stadium.
They still got the casino in Biloxi, don't they?
I don't know.
I think they do.
It's been a long time since I've been to Biloxi, Mississippi.
I love Biloxi. It's a great place to pass through.
Okay, so we were going to have an Auburn player on.
I keep hearing a bell. Where's
the
bell?
Yeah, it's the wind chimes here.
Oh, nice.
The wind's coming in.
Nice.
Bringing that cold front. Tomorrow it's only going to be 90.
Nice and chilly.
So we were going to have a player on from Auburn's team it's not really Auburn's team. The basketball tournament.
I mean, it's more or less Auburn's team, right?
Yeah, what is that?
The basketball tournament?
Yeah, it's an ESPN thing. It's a 3-on-3 tournament?
No, it's 5-on-5.
Oh, okay.
I'd never heard of it until this year. But the confusing thing was that the way it came about, it was like I was supposed to have heard of it. Like it was a
fourth or fifth year.
I've been around for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but so essentially, there's a grand prize, and I think it's $2 million.
Yeah, it used to be $1 million. Now it's $2 million.
As far as I know, anybody can make a team.
Yeah.
And you recruit whoever you want to play with you. So a lot of times it's alumni of a certain school or, you know, guys from Philly. And they'll come together, make a team. And I think it's like if you get so many followers, however they determine that.
Yeah, it's some sort of Instagram or
the top however algorithm. Many teams get to go to the tournament.
So I was really confused about that aspect of it until I realized, oh, this is how they market it. So,
right. So
if
it's not a bad idea for these small event, it kind of incentivizes the individual teams marketing themselves. And that's what it was Tampa 2020. And now they rebranded to War Tampa. That's what they've done. So LaRon Smith played with them, I think, last year, and this year they've got a whole host of Auburn guys playing with them now. Horace is going to play, Deshaun Murray, Bryce, and they've gotten what they call boosters as well, which I think is just donors. I don't know if there's any difference in those two.
What is the booster's role?
I think it's just they're providing a little bit more financial support.
Okay.
But Marquise Daniels, Chuma, and now Mustafa are all going to be boosters.
I was confused by why.
How is Mustafa a booster? Yeah. He's in college.
Yeah, I don't know how that works, but
I think he's just boosting like Twitter followers.
Yeah, maybe it's just to get people excited, and he's saying he's going to play for them next year as well.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, because he had that injury this year that kept him out of the end of the season.
Yeah, and none of these guys. The important thing about this thing is there is no summer league this year that some of these guys could have possibly played in. So this is giving them an opportunity to play, get in front of some people on TV, and I'm sure there's NBA scouts there. Why wouldn't there be, right?
Yeah, are we not doing a summer league? Has that been announced?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were just like, no, there's no summer league.
Because they're not doing a draft until.
Yeah, I know, but I don't even know if they've announced when the next season's going to start.
I thought they said no summer league for sure.
Okay.
I think the rumor, I don't know if this is true or not, but I thought the rumor for a while was they were shooting for a Christmas Day.
Yeah. Christmas Day.
Well, that's my dream. My dream for basketball is that it starts Christmas Day and then goes until whenever baseball season ends so that I don't have to watch
October
Braves Marlins baseball games in the middle of August.
I don't think it'll go that long, but it'll go till August.
Yeah.
Early September at least. And then you got playoff baseball.
I mean, if you give me NBA finals in August and then playoff baseball in October, that's great. That's way better than like regular season Braves games in August.
If you could go NBA postseason straight into college football, is that what you're looking for?
That's incredible, Ryan. Yes, sign me up.
With a 50-game baseball season.
Now, listen, let's move on to something that I know that all of our listeners have been wanting to hear. Crow, what do you think about the Lance documentary on ESPN?
Oh, yeah, it was finished up, right?
Yeah, finished up. So I think everyone should watch it. If you have ESPN Plus, you can actually watch it with no commercials. So it's 2 hour-and-a-half episodes as opposed to 2 2-hour episodes, which I think is much more digestible. It's a lot of time to spend with Lance Armstrong because it is
not really a pleasant guy.
No, and it's a lot of like time with Lance. Like it's him in front of a camera or him in his house, him on a boat in a lake. It's just
Is Vince
him.
Vaughn there?
What'd you say?
Is Vince Vaughn there?
No.
Ah,
unfortunately, no.
Yeah, dodgeball reunion.
And I'm a Lance apologist. I've been accused of being a Lance apologist by my wife. She's like, "How can you support this guy? He's like the worst dude ever." And you'll say he's the worst dude ever. And I agree. He's the worst dude ever. Like he's a bad guy. Like you watch the at no point in this documentary do you ever think anything other than this is a bad guy who, for whatever reason, has an incredibly soft and compassionate heart for one thing in the world, and that is people with cancer, because he had cancer.
Oh yeah, he's done. I heard someone who has this cancer survivor talking about this, talking about how you can kind of forgive him because of, like, Livestrong is a great organization.
Bro, like, they say this in the documentary too, and they're right. Like, if you get diagnosed with cancer today in 2020, your chances of survival are better because of Lance Armstrong.
It's and that's awesome.
100% true. Look, but that doesn't make him not a bad person. And that's kind of like what the documentary goes through is like, and I love that about it, is that there is no such thing as a purely evil human or a purely good human. And so kind of investigating this man is like, look, he did some miserable things. He existed in a time unlike baseball, where like baseball, we have the steroid era, but there were probably, I would say even at the height of the steroid era, nobody would contend that more than 60% of the players were on steroids.
Sure.
Right? Like, you wouldn't say, oh yeah, it was 90% of the players on steroids.
No, definitely not.
That'd be nuts, right? At the height of the, what they call the EPO era or the doping era of cycling, if you were not on EPO, which is a type of blood doping, it adds red blood cells to your blood. If you're not on EPO, you could not finish the race within the time cutoff. And a guy like makes that comment. He goes, yeah, I wasn't brought to the Tour de France that year by my team because they knew I didn't dope, and so I couldn't finish the race. Not win the race, finish the race. Like, if you were not doping, you were not able to finish the contest. So everybody was doping. Everybody in that era was on it.
I think people that are at least feign repulsion of Lance Armstrong because of the doping are silly.
Yeah, and the point,
it's the aftermath.
Sure.
The way he treated people after the fact, oh, the way he sued people, went after people,
ruined their lives in the media.
Ruined people's lives. Like, yeah. That is what makes him a bad person.
Took Greg LeMond, like, who is the greatest American cyclist ever, Greg LeMond, Lance Armstrong, like, got Trek to drop Greg LeMond's contract because Greg LeMond insinuated that maybe Lance might have met with a guy who might be doping.
Yeah.
It was dastardly. And, like, yes, like, we don't know the question of, well, if everybody was doping and Lance won, he's the best. Well, not necessarily, because like not everybody's body reacts to the same drugs the same way. So maybe Lance was just a high responder to EPO. So we don't know if everybody was clean, would Lance have won? Lance maintains that he would have won, but is that even important? Like,
yeah.
Who knows? All I know is he won 7 tours. I ride bikes today because of Lance. He was the first guy that I ever watched ride bikes. And I was like, man, I want to ride bikes. So that's why I ride bikes. So it's difficult for me to be like super anti-Lance Armstrong just because it's my favorite thing to do. And I wouldn't have ever discovered it if it wasn't for him. At the same time, he's the worst dude. He's the worst dude ever. Like, you watch the documentary, you're like, I do not want, if I ever have a son, if he even remotely begins to act like this man, I failed as a father. Like, he's just the biggest jerk. But like, there's also this redemptive story in the doc. It's a good doc. Cause it's a good documentary. Cause like, he does seem to have come through the other side where, like, he admits, yeah, I was a horrible person, but I'm glad I did it because I would have never learned those lessons that I've now learned. Like, he's like, he makes the case, like, I needed it. I needed to lose everything to learn to not be this way.
Didn't he just drop his wife to start dating Sheryl Crow at some point? And that would happen.
Dropped his wife, who then was diagnosed with cancer, to date Sheryl Crow.
Yeah, yeah. That was should have been an early.
And then he dropped Sheryl Crow.
Oh, that's right.
Like, he did Sheryl Crow dirty too.
Ryan, Sheryl Crow was a musician from the mid '90s.
Is she in that band I've heard of called Counting Crows?
Nope. Counting Crows is a band in the early '90s from with a guy named Adam Duritz that Son of Crow has seen twice. No,
wow,
three times live.
There you go. Also, not in the Black Crows.
No, Black Crows, man. I wish.
Also, well,
also not a Son of Crow.
No.
Well, possibly related to Crow.
Who knows? Who knows? We have different last names.
She was she had a big fake front teeth because she got smashed in the mouth with a beer mug at one point in her life and broke out some of her teeth.
They were fake.
I didn't know she had to have surgery to like fix it.
I always thought she was so pretty. Like, she had the prettiest mouth, and well, guys, we'll end on that. How pretty Sheryl Crow is. Tell us your thoughts. Do you think Sheryl Crow's pretty? Write to at Ryan S. Starrett on Twitter.
Let me know.
Let Ryan know. Is Sheryl Crow pretty? All right. See you guys next week. Maybe next week we'll actually have a former Auburn basketball player on the pod. If not, my brother is going to come on, and we're going to do Crow and Crow show.
Is that like Simon and Simon?
The more you crow.
The more you crow. That's perfect, Ryan. The more you crow. Yeah. All right. See y'all next week. Adios.